Now, if you see, therefore, the very first chapter is entitled Human Aspiration. It raises this basic question: what is a human being? And what is he all the time aspiring to do? What is he doing in answer to the question, what am I here for? All human aspiration arises out of this questioning, why am I here? All human aspiration. What should I be doing? What I am doing, is it all enough? Or is there something more that I ought to be doing? And whatever answer I give to myself, is that answer really true in the light of all the knowledge of what is really true? In the light of all the knowledge that is available with regard to the cosmos, matter, life and mind and spirit. If so, what is that answer? So, this book starts with a basic philosophical question. What is that human being is aspiring to do in the world? And whether his aspiration is justified or not, and whether there is a possibility of fulfillment of that aspiration. Now let us come to this very first chapter in the light of all that I have said so far.
Let's try to read it line by line, to go through it and swallow every word, put really on the track. Because when I really feel what is my inner aspiration, how can I do it? The book answers to the question, how can I do it?
Correct.
I feel so.
Correct, you are right, absolutely.
Because he has put the goal in his first chapter.
Quite right.
And then in the other chapters he is trying to explain how slowly by slowly human being can fulfill the divine life in every word and every act he is doing in his life.
Correct. This is the sum and substance of the whole thing. You are quite right.
But it is very difficult.
It's very difficult because, as I told you, all the three questions are intertwined.
Yeah.
The ethical question, the cosmological question, and the metaphysical question. All the three are intertwined, and all the three methods are employed simultaneously. That's why the whole thing is like a huge orchestra. The whole book is actually comparable to an orchestra where hundreds of musicians are playing together. That's why it is a difficult book. You have to find out which argument is laid or put forward from what point of view and with what intention and how it is dealt with from what point of view. So that is why the reading becomes very complex. So the first chapter is of that kind. I'll give you the summary of the whole argument. Sri Aurobindo says that if you examine the history of the world, then one thing comes out very prominently, that the human race has been pursuing one great goal. The goal of the knowledge and realization of God, light, freedom, immortality. Knowledge can be only intellectual.
Yeah.
But light is more than intellectual. Because it's not only heart, but even more than both mind and heart can combine together can give. He has a bliss also. So first of all, the very first paragraph is a complex sentence. So let us concentrate upon the very first paragraph, in which he only says this, that all human history brings out one prominent fact, that human being has been aspiring right from the beginning when he became awakened. Not when he was not awakened. When he became awakened, right from that time to the present day, if you see the entire history, when he became awakened, is situated at the point where when began to develop ethics and religion. So, if you examine the history of the world, then you find that right from the time that he became awakened, and continuously up to the present day, there has been one constant theme, the aspiration to realize God, to attain to the perfect knowledge, to have unmixed bliss, to have entire freedom from all kinds of fetters and chains, and to arrive at immortality. Now it is true that there have been periods in the history of the world where this aspiration is not evident, where people have even rejected God, rejected light, rejected the idea of immortality, rejected the idea of unmixed bliss. These are the periods of skepticism. So Sri Aurobindo is aware of it. But he says that in spite of passing through skeptical periods of this kind, mankind returns again and again to the basic truth. Therefore, even if you take into account skeptical periods, and when you look at them as an entire period, then you can say simply that this skeptical period was only a period of testing whether its aspiration was right or wrong. And having tested it, again comes back to aspire for God, Christ, and immortality. This is the one statement. There is an undercurrent in the statement where he says that this aspiration is also the highest which human thought can envisage. That is to say, this aspiration is not only wish of the heart, it is also something that is logically highest which can be justified, which can be found to be valid. These are the two statements which Sri Aurobindo makes in the first paragraph. One, that throughout the history of the world, since man became awakened to the present day, he is aspiring this, and even though there have been skeptical periods, they have been for all parts and man comes back. Therefore, Sri Aurobindo says, the original formula of wisdom also promises to be at last. The word is very important. It doesn't say is the last. You see, it promises to be the last. Because the whole book is actually to be still read before we can say is the last. When you start the argument, he says that it is true that in the beginning if you read the earliest records of wisdom, you will find this aspiration formulated very vividly. And since it has been continuously coming back again and again, even after the periods of skepticism, it means that there is a promise in this. This is one line of thought. The second is that these four or five ideals, God, light, freedom, bliss and immortality, are also the highest which his intellect can envisage. His intellect, his reasoning can envisage.
So, both from the point of view of the history and also from the logical point of view of intellectual perception, this formula comes out very vividly as the most important formula of human history. What is all human history doing after all? All over the world, whatever may be the vicissitudes of human life throughout the history of the world, one single thing that comes out prominently is that man has continuously aspired for God, life, freedom, immortality. And this is also which his highest thought can envisage and can be convinced about. This is the first paragraph. This is now, the whole chapter now is the conclusion that now third one which are derived. So before deriving this conclusion, he now goes through a chain of arguments. What is the first chain in the argument? He says that these are the ideals. These ideals are contradicted by our ordinary experience.